The text for the sermon this morning is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our text is the last verse of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The Lord begins this letter with grace, and he ends this letter with grace. The letter begins in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The last word of this letter in chapter 6, verse 24 is grace with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity or without corruption. In the body of this letter, the Lord uses the word grace 10 more times and gives one of the richest expositions of His grace in all of Scripture. It is fitting then, as we conclude our study of this letter to the Ephesians, that we meditate upon the grace of God and note those to whom He gives His grace. What is this grace of God here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24? Grace is God's unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor or kindness. The true Christian says, God was merciful to me and showed me His favor and kindness that I did not deserve. We do not deserve grace. We're not worthy of it. The moment you deserve it, the moment you really should receive this blessing, you are talking about justice. Mercy and grace are God's favor that you are not entitled to because of your sins, because of your corrupt and sinful nature. If you are entitled to it in any degree, that is justice. God can only be either just or merciful. God cannot be merciless, but His mercy can be rejected. If you reject His mercy, then you have to deal with God through His justice. God's justice requires absolute perfection continually. There's no way for you to be right with God by just being perfectly righteous. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. The only way that you can be right with God is through His undeserved grace, through His mercy. That is how the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit of God, concludes this wonderful letter to the Ephesians. Do not reject the grace of the Lord. Do not say no to God. Do not say, your grace is not for me. I do not need it. God sets His grace before you today. He freely gives it. He wants you to have it. Do not reject it. Do not refuse it. It is the most wonderful thing in the world. What a wonderful way to end a wonderful epistle. God in His grace chooses to save sinners. These Ephesians had been superstitious idolaters. They shouted loudly, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" The temple to Diana was in Ephesus. They did not want to throw away their idols and worship the one true and living God. There was nothing in them to draw them towards the light of God that shines in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were far off, as Paul says, without hope, and really and truly without God in the world. And yet these were the very people, these were the very men and women and children whom the exceeding riches of God's grace brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. They were dead in trespasses and sins. They walked according to the course of this world. They walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. They fulfilled all the wicked and evil desires of their flesh and of their sinful mind. They were sunk in all kinds of loathsome lusts and wickedness. And yet the grace of God came to the people in Ephesus and called out a church to show forth the praises of God. What were we, brothers and sisters? We were idolaters. We were all sinners in some fashion or other. We were all sheep who went astray. We each followed our own way. To the utmost of our power, we fulfilled the lusts of our flesh and of our mind. We sinned against God every day of our lives. And if God had not saved us, we would have been swept away by the torrents of our sinful rebellion against God into the worst possible evils. Thanks be to God for His grace and His love that held us back from what we could have done and saved us from all our sin. What a wonder of grace, what a miracle of love that God should have saved us and brought us to Himself. Are any here the children of godly parents who have rebelled against the Lord? Many of us terribly rebelled against the Lord, and yet the Lord had mercy upon us. Have some of you fallen into the lusts of the flesh and followed after the pleasures of sin and thus defiled yourselves greatly? Do not despair of pardon, for there are some here who with tears remember how the God of all grace forgave them after they had fallen into the same sins. Whatever form your transgression may take, God has saved others who before fell into similar sins in order that in them He might make known to you His willingness to bring you to Himself in love and to cast your sins behind His back. When we can say, "These were great sinners who grievously rebelled against God, but God had mercy on them and saved them by His grace," we in effect say to all who sin in the same way, "Come to the Lord through Jesus Christ, and He will be merciful and gracious to you. Leave your sin as they left their sin. Loathe your sin as they do their sin. Trust in Jesus Christ as they do, and you shall find mercy. You shall find grace with the Lord, grace that is greater than all of your sin, and you also shall rejoice in the Lord's great and everlasting salvation." What has God done for us by His grace? He chose us before He lit the stars. Those brilliant torches scattered throughout the universe, the galaxies, the sky. He wrote our names upon the heart and the hands of Jesus Christ before He laid the foundation of the hills. In the fullness of time, He gave Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, for us, even that blessed Lord of whom we say, He loved me and gave Himself for me. He made with us in Jesus Christ an everlasting covenant of grace which shall stand fast and sure when all created things are dissolved. He watched over us when we were slaves to Satan. By His grace, He guarded us from going still further and deeper into transgression and sin and committing even the sin which is unto death. And then He called us. And when we would not come to Him, He drew us even more forcefully by His effectual and sovereign grace through the mighty power of His Holy Spirit until at last we yielded to Him. Jesus washed us in His own blood and made us whiter than snow. He brought forth the best robe and He put it on us and He made us righteous in His own sight. He gave us the kiss of sweet acceptance and He placed us among His holy children. And since then He has given us the children's portion and He has dealt with us as those who love His name. We have been adopted into the family and we have lived on the children's bread and He has guided us and led us and instructed us and upheld us and sanctified us. Our great and glorious Savior is still performing miracles of mercy for us. And He has seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What has He not done for us? What more could He do? Can you suggest a mercy? A grace? He's already given it. Can you desire a favor? A blessing? It is yours already and was yours from before the foundation of the world. Oh, the goodness, the manifold goodness, the overflowing, the surpassing, the inconceivable grace of God toward us through Christ Jesus. The riches of God's grace, these covenant blessings all come to us through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Through God's only begotten Son, our Lord, you can see the mark of the cross on every spiritual blessing which the Father has given to us. Some drops of Jesus' bloody sweat have fallen upon every treasured gem of His covenant grace. This makes God's mercy and God's grace to us all the more precious. It makes every covenant blessing more and more dear because it is brought to us by the hand of God's well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has earned it for us by His life of obedience to God and His death on the cross in our place, by which He has atoned for all our sins. He has fully satisfied God's wrath. He has met all the demands of God's law and God's justice. And by His matchless intercession as our great high priest, who ever lives pleading for us at the right hand of the Father, at the throne of the majesty on high, Jesus gives us His grace. All things come to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the golden pipe of God's eternal love, the window through which grace shines, the door by which it enters. The riches of the grace of God are above all limits. God has as much grace as you want. And He has a great deal more than that. The Lord has as much grace as a whole universe will require, but He has vastly more than that. He overflows with grace. All the demands that can ever be made on the grace of God will never impoverish Him. It will never even diminish His store of mercy. There will remain an incalculable, precious mine of mercy and grace as full as when He first began to bless the sons of men. God is so rich in mercy that you cannot tell how rich He is. His grace is overflowing riches, marvelous riches, exceeding riches. God is boundless in all His attributes, including His grace and His love and His mercy. For God is love. God's grace is above all that you can see. The grace of God surpasses all you know, all you see, and all you can even think or imagine. God's grace is beyond all that we can speak. His love is unspeakable. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable grace. If we had all the tongues of men and of angels, we could not declare all the riches of the grace of our God. We struggle to forgive others who have sinned against us. But God's mercy is so great that we who have wearied the Lord with our sins, yet we have not outworn His compassion. It is hard for us to forgive, but God forgives spontaneously. God delights to forgive. God delights in mercy. 26 times in one psalm we read, His mercy endures forever. Our mercy is short. Our temper is quick, so that very easily and quickly we speak unadvisedly and angrily. But it is not so with God. So wonderful are His ways of grace that they are past finding out. We cannot follow them. We can scarcely believe them because they are so different from our ways. His ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are above our thoughts, as great as far as the heavens are above the earth. So much are His thoughts and His ways above our ways. Man is miserly in forgiveness, but the Lord is rich in mercy. Our little stream of goodness runs after much priming and pumping and pressure, but the river of God's grace and love flows freely. The Lord is such a marvelously forgiving God, so rich in His grace and mercy, that our understanding cannot count the mighty sum. Yes, if our thoughts were raised to the utmost, if we were sanctified to the highest degree, if we were so pure in heart as to see God, not even then would we be able to know all the exceeding riches of God's grace to us who believe. His mercy is higher than the heavens and far above the clouds. God's grace is greater than all our sins. You cannot sin so much as God can forgive. You can only sin as a man, as a human being, but God forgives as the eternal and infinite God. You sin as a finite creature, but the Lord forgives as the infinite Creator. Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 20, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Christ's atoning blood will wash out all transgression so that not a trace of it shall remain. Does not this fact magnify the mercy of God? As great and as intolerable as your sin may be, yet it is but as a drop in a bucket compared with the immense ocean of God's grace and God's forgiving love and mercy. God's grace is greater than all that His children have ever received as yet. His redeemed are a multitude that no man can number, and each one draws deeply from the well of God's grace. But even so, all the grace that God has ever given to all of them combined, and He has given to each of them a measureless portion, yet there's still more grace in God than He has given. What the Lord has given does not comprehend all the exceeding riches of His grace. He has infinitely more to give. God's ability to give is greater than our capacity to receive. God's grace is above all measure. The grace of God is completely unfathomable. Scripture says in Psalm 103, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." What greater breadth can there be? "And as for the length of God's love and grace, it is from everlasting to everlasting." There is a beginning to our sin, but there is no beginning to God's pardoning grace and love. "I shall stop sinning someday when the Lord takes me home to glory. But the mercy of the Lord our God will never end." World without end. God's grace is beyond all calculation. However much you may have wandered, however black you may be, however defiled you may be, God delights in mercy. It is the joy of His heart to pass by transgression and sin through the precious blood of Christ. Come, take all that you can. Take all that you can take. Wash out your crimson stains in the pure flood of God's infinite grace, and His grace shall remain as pure as before you came. The Lord pleads with sinners to receive His grace. "Come now," He says, "and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He begs and beseeches men to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. He entreats them and pleads with them and argues with them and reasons with them that they would turn to Jesus and live. Oh, the exceeding riches of His grace. He is a sweet way of opening our understanding and subduing our will and drawing us unto Himself until we long for Him and we run after Him. He gives His grace to unworthy sinners without any conditions. Christ comes to you just as you are, in all of your alienation, in all of your enmity, and He brings everything in His hands that you need. There was nothing in us to draw Christ to us. We had nothing good, but everything evil. When Jesus came, He did not say, "Bankrupt sinner, you pay 2 cents on the dollar, and I will pay the 98 cents. No, Jesus paid all our debts. And He asks nothing from us. He saw us lying by the side of the road, bruised and broken. And He did not say, "Come here, poor man, stand up, and I will bind up your wounds." No, he came where we were lying, unable to move. And he poured in the wine and the oil. And he did it all without our help. That is the exceeding riches of his grace. He freely gives us all that we need, only asking that we would receive it. That we would be empty in order that he might fill us with his love. He speaks a dead sinner into life by his word. He says, live. And we who are dead, live. He whom God reckons to be righteous by imputing the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is righteous indeed. Once washed in the fountain of his blood, every sin is gone, every spot is washed out. It is gone, never to return. For he who was once washed in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ will never be black again. The cleansing is perfected forever. Our glorious high priest has made one offering for sin. He did it once, and by that one sacrifice of himself, he has removed all the sins of all his people at a single stroke, once and for all. God, at the very close of the letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 6, verse 24, pronounces his grace upon all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ sincerely. Who love Jesus Christ without corruption. Our poor love to Christ has been like a spark hiding away in the ashes. And yet he calls it love. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows that we love him, even though our love is so feeble and weak. These poor, frail graces of ours that we are ashamed of, he rejoices in. He rejoices in them with great joy as being the gift of his Holy Spirit, a gift of the exceeding riches of his grace. Ever since our conversion, the Lord has held on to us. And he has helped us to hold on to him. We have sorely tried him time and time and time again. We have grieved him. We have provoked his spirit over and over and over again. And yet he loves us infinitely. And he does not give up. He has espoused us. He has betrothed us to himself. And he will never divorce us. He has not grown cold in his love toward us. In spite of the coldness of our love, he loves us with all of his great and his infinite heart. And he causes us to love him more and more and more and more and more. He causes us to love him sincerely, to love him without any corruption, to love him in truth, to love him with a love that cannot be corrupted, a love that can never die. We love him by obeying him. We love him by living close to him, living in fellowship with him, delighting in him, loving righteousness, hating lawlessness, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the riches of God's infinite grace in your life? Yes, you. Do you? If you do, rejoice and give him the glory. And if you do not, come to Christ and beg him by his infinite grace and mercy to take away all of your sins and to give you everlasting life and righteousness. Do you love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity? Without corruption? by His grace? If you do, grow in love for our Lord Jesus Christ by His grace, through the working of His Holy Spirit, by and with His Word in your life and in your heart. And if you do not love our Lord Jesus Christ, cry out to Him for His grace, to give you a new heart, to humble you before His glorious majesty as a poor, naked, unworthy sinner who has nothing at all to bring to Him. And He will clothe you in white garments, even the perfect righteousness of His only Son, Jesus. We owe the Lord an enormous debt for the blessings of His infinite grace. And perhaps in eternity, we shall begin to calculate the value. But the Lord will continue to deluge us with His mercy and His grace, with His favor and His love forever and forever. And we shall praise the Lord for all eternity, for His grace, for the riches of His grace to us who are unworthy sinners. For His grace is unspeakably rich, and it is without end. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for the riches of Your grace, for the greatness of Your love toward us. We thank You that You found us dead, lying by the side of the road, unable to move, lifeless, wounded and bruised. And You healed us. You gave us life. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have poured out the riches of Your grace upon us in Jesus Christ. Bring us unto Yourself, though we are poor, unworthy sinners, and though we are yet even unprofitable servants, and yet still You love us. Father, impress upon us this morning more of the greatness and the glory and the riches of Your grace and Your mercy and Your love to us and to sinners. To us who are sinners and to those around us who are sinners. And show us, Father, how much we should be thankful, how much we should praise You. And Father, we pray that those who do not know this grace, that those who do not love You sincerely because You have saved them by Your grace, will be drawn even today by the irresistible grace of Your Holy Spirit. Drag them by Your sovereign and mighty power unto Jesus Christ, that they may be joined to Him by true faith, and that they may be emptied of themselves and filled with all the fullness of our Savior. Father, we pray that we may shine the grace of Jesus Christ wherever we go, and may speak of His grace to all those we see. Receive our thanks, receive our praise, and glorify Yourself, glorify Your Son, glorify Your grace. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is Your gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. Father, we are Your workmanship, which You have created by Your grace in Christ Jesus. Help us then to show forth that grace through our love, through the good works that we do out of gratitude and praise to you who has redeemed us from all of our sin. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.